This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself.
Today, we are talking about the unbelievable topic of quitting something.
Which is so hard to do.
So hard to do. But Emily, we were saying right before this, Emily, I was like, fuck you, you're doing the intro. That's how we decide who does the intro. And she was like, start it by saying, I'm quitting this podcast.
Well, I think here's the thing. A lot of people have questions about, how do I leave a relationship? How do I quit a job? How do I end something? Because we talk a lot about, like, you don't have to stay in shit just because you've done it forever. Because I think a lot of us do. Right? Like, history makes us feel very connected to things.
Also, I think we've been taught that inherently quitting something is bad.
Which, okay, so we were just talking about this, like, in childhood. If you were, like, signed up for an activity, were you allowed to quit? And I was. My mom made me, like, I signed up for, like, every activity and did it for, like, 2 months. And for those 2 months, I was really good at it. And I was like, nah, I'm not into this. I want to do something else now.
Do you think that was but the ADHD?
Yeah. And I think it was my mom's ADHD as well that allowed me to keep quitting. But in my family, I was allowed to quit stuff. Yours, you were too, right?
Yeah. Like, I was talking about, I tried so many instruments. I tried piano, but my piano teacher yelled at me. And so I, really bad with criticism back then. So I would cry a lot and be like, I'm done here. Then I tried flute. Horrible at that. And I tried violin. And when I would do the, what was it called? It wasn't like a, what was the final thing where you like,
The concert.
I'm sorry. I'm not functioning. I would not practice. And then when I would get to the concert, I would just pretend like I was playing. Like, I would just move my bow, like, at the same speed that everyone else was moving it. But I wouldn't put it to the strings.
And it's so funny because you think you're getting away with it, but, like, every teacher and every
band. It's so obvious. I would also do that, like, in chorus where I would pretend like I was singing, but I wasn't actually singing. So I would just, like, open my mouth.
Can I see that real fast? You're like, you remind me of, like, that Billy Mouse bath. Like you remember, like, do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, like, that, like, fake, like, wallfish that would, like, sing, like, the Billy Mouse bath or something? Like... yes, exactly. That's what you looked like in concert.
Wow, I wonder if they still have those. What? And if they do,
sure,
I
should do on eBay.
I'm getting you one.
Oh, great. Thank you. That's just what I want. More shit in my house. So, and it's funny because talk about getting rid of stuff, right? Things in my home as well. But it's hard. We stay connected to things. We stay connected to jobs. And a big part of this is fear. We were actually just talking about, like, before we do the episode, like, we're often talking to our clinicians about it, like, in a group of people, like, just processing through, like, what was your experience with this? And Nikki, who you guys know so much about, tell me how with the podcast, recently quit her full-time job to work for us full-time.
God bless her soul.
God bless her soul. But her full-time job was what you would define as a stable, safe job. It had a pension and
she
a 401k.
Benefits.
All the things, right? She had, it was a typical, well, I guess not 9 to 5. I don't know what those weird hours are.
No.
But it was, like, right, very different than, like, you know, random hours, sending emails, whatever random stuff she does for us. And the biggest thing when she told people was their fear for her about, like, leaving the stability. Right?
Yes.
And often when you tell people you're going to leave something, they meet you with fear.
I think it ignites, you know, fear within them if they were to give up their, you know, it might, maybe it's something they've thought about, but the way in which they talk themselves out of it is through all of the things that they're saying back to you.
Yeah.
Right. And she was struggling inside. Sorry if I'm not supposed to say this, but she was not happy at her job. And so even though everyone was meeting her with fear and saying, oh, no, you shouldn't do this, you should stay in something stable, it's she really listened to herself. And so that's why we wanted to do this episode, is like really helping you to listen to yourself when you are unhappy in something.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard because one of the things we do is like we look for our social and family supports around us. So if I'm like, I don't think I'm happy here, or I'm thinking about breaking up with them, we go to those people. And the thing is, like, a lot of those people are coming from love for you, their own fears. They're coming from a more biased thing. It's one of the things why we talk about the idea of the blind leading the blind when we do that, that it's great to get those supports. But sometimes, and you know it, you can feel it, right? When somebody gives you that response and you're like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I did not want them to say that to me.
But I think that that in and of itself
is your sign.
Right? Like if you, it's like if you're choosing between two restaurants, right? And you say like, oh, like which one do you want? And the person says the one that you don't want, you immediately know it.
Yes.
Right? If you're like, oh, I'm so indecisive. But when someone says the one that you don't want, you're like, oh, I wanted to go to the other one.
Yeah, right. And but we're looking for other people to co-sign. And of course it feels good.
Of course.
Right? Of course, when I want to do something and someone's like, hell yeah, you should do that, I want to hear that. But people aren't always gonna say you. Especially when you're doing something that is risky, well, quote unquote.
And you also, you want other people to say to you, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think that
but
that's...
people, don't you feel like people are scared to say that? Like, people absolutely. Are, like, so worried about being the reason for something, you know? Like, people can, like, they can hate your partner. Like, your group of friends can fucking hate your boyfriends or your girlfriends, and they don't tell you.
Right.
Because everyone's, like, so worried about, like, what is this going to do? Or then they're going to blame me. And like sometimes that is a risky thing to do.
And that does happen.
It totally happens.
Right?
Like, okay, that's happened to me. Like
that's happened to me.
Where someone like breaks up with their partner and then you're like, listen, like I really think it's for the best. This actually happened to Aaron and I with like a really good friend of his that like got separated from his wife. And we were like, listen, like here's what we noticed and here are things we saw. And then
they got back together.
She got pregnant like a 2 weeks
no.
later.
Are you friends with them still? Do they listen to this podcast?
Hope not. Well, I don't know, but we know a lot of people that have gotten separated or divorced, so they probably don't even know what I'm talking about, unfortunately.
Right. It's very confusing
but
now.
Because we're at that age. We're actually, when you start to hit like into your 30s and mid 30s, there's a lot of divorce that starts to happen.
It's either pregnancy or divorce.
Sometimes both.
Sometimes none.
Sometimes none. hopefully for you.
yes. That's for sure.
Yes. But we start to hit that thing. And so there's a fear. There's a fear of losing security. The same thing with ending a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
What will I do? How do I leave this? Because then what if I'm alone? Or what if I hate my job so much? My boss is abusive. This sucks. I'm so depressed. I'm so unhappy. Well, what if I can't find something else?
Or what if I can't pay rent, right?
Yeah,
like, what
that's
if
really
I...
scary.
Because if you're going from a job that gives you security, but you're really unhappy in it, like the financial pieces can be really, really terrifying sometimes.
Well, the same thing with leaving a relationship, though, when you're splitting the bills.
Yeah.
I mean, there are outrageous benefits to being in a relationship if you are sharing finances.
Oh, yeah.
So to go and take that out on your own, that's one of the things on our episode with Mary Chen about long-term singleton. She talked about one of the things that people do not realize
yes.
is how difficult the financial piece is of being single later in life.
And the social judgment.
Yes.
Right? Like whether it's I know we're talking specifically about relationships and jobs, but like there are other things you quit too. But
Diets. Right. Or certain mindsets, right? A scarcity mindset, a diet and yo-yo,
good.
Right? What else do you quit? Being a people pleaser?
Smoking? I don't know. It's just the first thing that came to mind. Dare just like popped into my mind.
Did you know that Dare turned out to be the least effective public health initiative that's ever been done?
Really?
Yes.
Did it make people want to do drugs more?
I think because the way that it was just fear and it wasn't harm reduction made people curious about drugs more. I remember learning about this in school. I'll have to find the actual data about what it is, but I'm pretty sure that was it.
Well, it's like when there's abstinence-based sex education.
Of course, it doesn't fucking work.
Doesn't work because you're just,
It's going to happen anyway. Same thing with kids will probably be face-to-face with a substance at some point. So how do we teach people to drink? How do you teach people? It's in a way of like learning. How do you learn to intuitively drink?
We're going off topic. I apologize. But my pediatrician growing up said to me when I was maybe like 13, she was like, listen, you are going to try things and that's okay. You know, like you can try things, do things in moderation. Like it wasn't like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very smart way of talking to a child.
Yeah, it really is.
To say like, listen, this is going to happen. Just be safe about it. Be smart about it.
And how do we teach you to be safe, right?
Yes.
And so I guess we can also take that same type of advice into leaving things. How do we do it in a safe, secure way that doesn't keep us stuck? Because the scarcity mindset, I'll never find anything else, isn't necessarily helpful for leaving things.
Yes.
Right? So how do I do it in a way that feels safe and secure to me? It doesn't mean I have to go straight, cold turkey, cut off. I'm going to roll in and tell my boss to fuck off and leave in the middle of the day and screw myself.
Even
right? Even if you want to, which I'm sure we all have. But that necessarily isn't it, right? How do I plan and take care of myself and let myself know I am allowed to leave things? And how do I take care of myself in doing that?
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blueland. Blueland is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blueland proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blueland is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
another question to ask ourselves is, like, why did I start this in the first place, right? Like, if you're in a job or a relationship or something that maybe is no longer serving you, it might be important to reassess, like, why is this something I went into to begin with? Are the reasons that I started this still true today? And I think that being in the same thing consistently as we're growing can be really challenging, right? Like, it doesn't allow for us to say, is this still something that's serving me? And we talk a lot about how we take mechanisms that were once serving us when we were younger and we take them into adulthood and they are no longer serving us because we've grown and we're in a different situation. Same thing with quitting things, right? That, like, maybe something that was once serving you is no longer serving you, and that adjustment to it, to be able to ask yourself that question, is so important, because you might get to the point where you're like, actually, no, this isn't serving me anymore.
I mean, I'm thinking about this, and once again, I know we're talking about relationships, but, like, a lot of times you get into a relationship and things work in the beginning. They excite me and we're getting together and
honeymoon phase.
Right. And then things change. A work situation, a living situation, life happens, right? And you start to see other sides of people that you're like, hey, maybe we're not the best fit the way that I thought we were before. Mm. And we keep thinking, if I ignore it, it's going to change. And I think that that's the same thing. That passivity is, like, the same thing about, like, oh, I'm not going to deal with this issue at work. I'm going to just keep hoping it goes away. That doesn't work.
Well, and also I think
I know that from parenting.
It's also
when I try to ignore my child's behavior,
doesn't work.
Doesn't seem effective.
But I also think it's, like, the path of least resistance, right? Yeah. If we're just like, also, if you're in a job that's, like, wearing you down, sometimes you don't have the energy to address it. You know, you're just burnt out. Yeah, you're just so burnt out at that point that even if it's something you're not happy in, to actually address it.
Yeah.
Is just going to take so much energy.
Well, and this part of, like, if I leave another thing, what will people think about me, right? Like, if I leave a job in my 40s and I've already left a bunch of jobs, will people think that I'm quote-unquote flaky? Will people think if I leave another relationship, oh, God, she can't handle anything? And I think it's an interesting thing, because anytime I have someone in my life who tells me they end a relationship and they feel really good about it, I'm like, fuck yeah, that's awesome.
Yes. Good for you.
Right? Like, I recently had a friend who let me know that they are getting divorced, and I was just so happy that they had thought this decision through and it was amicable. And, like, no, I don't give a shit that I gave them money for their wedding. Like, I have no feelings about that. Now, the reality is other people will.
Right.
We can't sit here and pretend like people are not going to judge you for your decisions, because they will, because people can be jerks.
And that is the end of that.
Well, it's other people's stuff, right?
Yes, it brings up, once again, brings up fear in other people, right? And so, but I think that that's so important. Like, the bottom line is, it's not their life, right?
Yeah.
And if you're making a decision based on the fear of judgments of others, you're basically living your life for those other people. And so to be able to say, listen, I might get judged. I might. You know, like, people might be talking behind my back, but this, in the end, is my life. Also, people will move on to something else they want to judge.
Well, it's interesting because it brings up, like, the topic of gray divorce, Melinda and Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That, like, you know, there's a lot of people that are getting divorced in their 50s and 60s, and that's, like, people, especially with adult children, that are like, what the heck? My parents are divorced. What's this going to mean? And people are allowed to make the best decision for them in their life, even if we don't love the decision that they made.
Well, and it speaks to the fact that, once again, your relationship might have been serving you at a point in your life. Maybe when you were raising kids together, it was serving you. Maybe.
Did Melinda and Bill have kids? I don't know anything.
I have no idea.
I know nothing about this
relationship. I'm just saying, just in, if yes, we're talking in generalities. Like, yeah. That maybe it's no longer serving you. Maybe you want to go your separate ways. Maybe you want to start dating again. Maybe you want to go out to a club
and I think
and dance.
Do you want to do that too?
I don't know. Maybe. No. I don't know where that came from.
I don't want to go to a club.
I think that, like, after.
My note reminds me of what? The scene in Knocked Up where he was like, you are
too, oh, yeah.
you are too old for this club,
you are but not old for the earth.
He's like, you are too old and you are too pregnant.
Which is fair. Yeah, I don't know. I think like after being stuck inside for so long, I'm like, oh, I want to go out. And then like if I
would like to see you at a club, I would like to put a timer on the wall of how long you would last at that club, because I'm giving it over under 5 minutes.
Jim. I would be next to the timer, like blending in with, trying to blend in with the wall.
Yes.
I'd be like, so, time is up.
Right. But you know that about yourself. And this all goes back to that very annoying thing we say all the time. That knowing yourself.
Know yourself.
Right? Of being able to listen to that. So how do we start to get this? How do we get this awareness? How do I listen to my body of like what's the anxiety versus the intuition? To think about how do I know when it's time to leave? And we get this question a lot.
Yes.
Especially
all the time.
When it comes like how do I know I tried hard enough in my relationship? And there is no perfect way.
Yeah.
But typically our body is going to tell us. And so one of the things we do, especially when we feel like we're in crisis, is we talk to everyone around us. We talk and we talk and we talk, or we ruminate internally, which is just talking to ourselves over and over again.
Yes.
So what would it be like to sit, to quiet your body and try to actually hear what's happening? Am I so tense? If I am in my house with someone and my shoulders are tense and I can't breathe and I feel uncomfortable and I can't sleep.
You don't feel like you can be yourself.
Your body is telling you something.
Yes.
And so when you start to look at those things and start to have that awareness of the insight to say like, shit, what am I going to do?
And that may take some time, right? Like, I think that also we think about quitting something as...
We should know immediately.
Like it should be this...
We should just know who we're in love with.
Know,
that's perfect for us.
No, that it's going to be this eureka moment. But I think it's slow, right? Like, if you're in a job that you're unhappy in, you don't make the decision immediately of, okay, I'm going to get out of this. I mean, I'm sure some people do.
Some people do, right? And some people, like, that have that impulsivity.
Right.
Right? And if that feels right for you, whatever, man, no judgment. But for a lot of us, it's a slower burn thing because we're trying to, like, weigh the things because we're so worried often about, like, screwing up or messing something
up. Or, like, making the wrong decision.
And part of that's, like, the people-pleasing is what will other people think of me, right? And so to ask yourself, if I wasn't concerned at all what other people thought, would I still say? If every person in my life said, I support you 150%, like, of leaving, would you leave?
Right. What I want to ask you, what's a time in which you quit something but were nervous about it?
I started out to be a teacher.
Yes.
Right? So, like, yes. I started my career to be a special education teacher. I had said my entire life I wanted to be a teacher, probably because I wanted to actually work with people directly, but my mom was a therapist, and I was like, I'm not going to be my mom.
Can't be my mom. And now you are your mom.
Yes. And so, isn't that funny how
that
works?
That's wild.
Right? And so, that was, like, a really hard decision. But for me, it was, like, it was an ongoing thing. Like, it wasn't, like, immediately like I knew. Like, I was, like, in these classes. I, like, really wasn't liking them in school. And then I went and, like, did, like, the first half of my student teaching. And all I wanted to do was just chill with the kids. Mm-hmm. I had no interest of lesson plans. I had no interest of dealing with parents. Oh, my gosh. I had no interest of dealing with administration. Okay. I had no interest. But when I went to tell my mom that I wanted to switch, you want to know what my mom said to me?
What?
Did you get an underage? Because in the state of Pennsylvania, if you have... like any type of like underage, I guess you can't be a teacher.
That is so interesting.
I'm not sure why. I don't know if that's like, that's, yeah. Okay. Nikki's nodding her head that's true. Right. So when I told my mom that I wasn't into this, she like didn't believe me. She thought I got underage. She just didn't want to tell her.
Interesting. Where do you think that was coming from for her?
I think her mind was so blown because I had always wanted to do this. So she was like so surprised to the fact that she also in part just thought I was a liar.
She was like, she definitely got an underage. She like ran a background check on you.
That is like a thing. I did never got an underage, Mom. I swear. I'm putting it on the record.
Also, weren't you of age at that point? She thought this was like a hidden underage?
Yes. Yeah. I think she did. Yeah. I think she thought that like I had gotten one and like was like waiting.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, it was a time in my life where I was definitely partying lots. Like I kind of understand how like that could have happened. But she like couldn't believe it. She like truly didn't think. And so there was a part of me that was like, oh, I have to stay in education to prove that my mom, I didn't get a fucking underage.
Yes.
Which is not a good reason to pick a career and not a good reason for those children who deserve.
Did you stay for a little bit longer to prove that you didn't have an underage? No.
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 But I don't think that she believed me for like a solid 2 to 3 years later.
Wow.
I think like she still really thought that for a while.
Well, the thing is that you're kind of a teacher now too.
It's true, right? And I have like gotten that part of myself met in these ways from a lot of the things that I do. But it was very hard because I had sort of made this identity around that I'm going to be a special education teacher and I'm going to do this and like, here's all the stuff. And then that kind of got blown up because I really didn't have a path. And I literally just went to, I was like, what can I transfer into that I could graduate that I don't have to do like another 4 years? Like, what is my plan here? And an advisor at school was like, you can go into human development. And I was like, I guess I'll just do that. Like, I didn't know what that was. And I was like, what do I do with that? She's like, basically you have to go to grad school. So that's just like what I told my mom. I was like, I don't know, but I'm going to have to go to grad school. I'll figure fucking something out.
Really, and worked out.
It did, right? But like, there was a part of me that was like, if I do this, I will die.
I think the thing you said too about the fact that you had to develop a new identity, like I think that that piece in and of itself can be really hard too.
And that's like one of the things, right? When you end something, you don't lose the memories of what happened. You lose the future that you had created.
And it's almost
that
like
you thought you're going to create.
Did you watch The Weight of Gold?
I didn't.
It's just very interesting because
it's about the Olympic gold medalist gymnast, right?
Exactly.
Right?
It's about Olympians in general and how they make their whole identity around kind of being Olympians and Olympic athletes and getting to the Olympics. And it ends eventually, of course, because you're either hurt, you get older.
Happens,
and so you completely lose that identity, and that is so jarring for people. So I think that in and of itself, like even if you're miserable in a job or you're miserable in a relationship, that to be able to say, well, like, who am I without this job or like, who am I without this relationship? Then you have to develop a whole new identity. I think that can be pretty terrifying. But
yes,
I think a piece of it is just because that's scary, just because it's hard to say, okay, well, who am I without this?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't do it. You're just starting new, and you develop a new identity as you get out of it.
You don't have to have a pre-plan. And that's the thing is, like, typically that identity we pre-plan doesn't work out that well anyway,
right?
Because it came from like other people's expectations, other voices to say, like, where did I get this idea from?
Right.
But I think especially we talk about like this idea of long-term singleton. It's you think you see your life in some way that I'm going to have the house or the kids and the family and all these things. And I think for a lot of us, especially, you know, for a lot of people that they decide they want to be child free, but in their head, they saw themselves as moms, and people in their life are always like, oh, when are you guys going to have kids?
Yes.
Right. Then they're like, oh, my God, wait, but I actually don't, because not everyone knows at a young age what the hell they want.
Right.
We usually just say we want what other people have told us is like, here's what you should do.
Not I.
Not you.
Really not.
That's sure not you.
No.
Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
So the question is, right, if we do the insight, if we have the awareness, what the hell is the action? And besides quitting the fucking job or leaving the thing.
I think that's the action.
Or quitting the thing,
just
right?
Just quit the job. No, but I think piece of it is listening to yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Being able to, and I think we talk a lot about this and we apply it to so many different topics too, is being able to boundary off other people's expectations of you, and being able to listen to yourself and ask yourself the question, is this something that's still serving me?
And so then what's it going to look like to create this new identity? Who would this person be? If I don't have those things, if I don't end up with the high powered job, or I don't end up with a family, or whatever these things are, or a, you know, Olympic gold medalist, who am I going to be? What are the other parts of myself that maybe I've been ignoring? Mm. Do I have a love for travel that I wasn't able to do because I was so invested in my job? Do I have a love for, I'm looking at Nikki as I do this, and I'm like, her love for sending emails? I don't know. Like talking to people. Like,
I have a true love for sending emails. That is.
She's so organized. She's so good at sending emails. She does them so fast.
She's so good at it.
It takes me, like, I overthink everything that I send, so it takes me so long, which is why, like, if you ever send me an email and I get back to you 2 weeks later, for the record, I've been thinking about it for those 2 weeks, though.
Also, I love how many exclamation points you put in your emails.
Oh, my gosh. I am, like, the stereotypical millennial woman that I'm like, hi, hey, how are you?
How are you doing?
I hope this email finds you well.
Mine on the other end is like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sorry for the delay. I apologize. My every email starts.
See, I'm not a big apologizer.
My apologies for the delay. Did you ever see that meme that's like, you're
back and forth?
Back and forth until you both die. My apologies for the delay.
Yes, that's you.
That is me.
So, I don't know.
We were saying developing new parts of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like realigning with identities that maybe you didn't have to create when you were so invested, engulfed in a different identity. And so I think another way to think about it is like, what did you really enjoy doing as a child?
Mm-hmm. You know?
How do you get back to that? Like, I personally loved decorating my room as a child.
Oh, did you like redo your room?
I would move my room around constantly.
I remember how fun that was as a kid.
Oh, it was so great.
Best.
Just moving your room around. Oh my God. I think I scratched up so much shit. Actually, maybe I had carpet. I can't remember. Anyway, but
maybe you got rid of it in the move.
Who knows? But if I were to not be a therapist, I would say, okay, what did I really enjoy as a child? Like, I loved decorating. Instead, we just decorate offices.
Well, okay, but you found a job or made a job that fits the different parts of you, right? And not everything has to be the career, right? So you found ways to say, here's this different part of me and who it served. And maybe there was a part of you that more creative or decorating side that took a little hiatus.
Yes.
When you were in academics, especially.
Well, and I think too, so I have talked about this before. I had a job before I was a therapist and was always told, you know, I know I was talking a big game about like not listening to other people's expectations, but I was always told that I needed to go into some sort of corporate job. When I was in that corporate job.
Safety, yeah, that's a financial
security. And I think it's like a generational thing too, right? Like that our parents, like generationally, were told that these are the jobs that you have to do. If you do anything different, like you're not going to be able to support yourself. That has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
And so I always was told you have to be in a corporate job. I felt it in my bones how miserable I was.
Yeah.
And by felt it mean I was crying constantly.
So how did you know it was time?
I think I was that miserable. Like when I think back to that time period, I would work all day and at night I took a course for the GRE. Mm. I would go to a Starbucks. In New York, Starbucks are open like 24 hours. There's some Starbucks. Anyway, so I would go to Starbucks. I would work on my applications. Like when I think back to doing that at that age, I'm like so surprised how much work I was doing, but it speaks to how miserable I was.
Yeah, it's true.
Like when you're that miserable in something, sometimes you will do anything to get out of it.
Okay, so I have a question.
Yes.
It leads to say, what about people that are listening to this that aren't like so miserable because they have other great things in their life? Like, I don't really think I like my job. I don't really think I'm happy
there.
Right,
it's like not on an extreme.
Right? And so like those are things that like maybe you're like, you know what, like I could put in 2 years here, right? Like I don't like love it, but like whatever, it's a good like first, like not everything has to be like that it's so horrible I have to leave because it's not perfect. If you have other things in your life, like work doesn't have to be the thing that we love the most. I think relationships are different. I've heard the saying before that the quality of your relationships is going to indicate the quality of your life. If I am in a bunch of shitty relationships where people do not treat me well and do not hear me and do not see me, I'm going to feel probably quite isolated and alone in my life. But with work, that can be a little different. So I think you have to say, like, this thing that I'm not happy with, this thing I'm considering leaving, how much is that affecting my life? Because for some of us, we can just stay at a job that's just like good enough because like whatever, it's money and like who cares?
And I think there's a lot of pressure on like find your passion. And you don't always have to have that, right? No. You can find your identity, find your passion in other ways. Or your passion could just be like, I'm going to make myself happy at home. Like, I'm going to, you know, be comfortable with what I'm doing and work on myself internally.
Yeah, right. Or like, I'm going to have these hobbies, or I have this social circle that's like really important to me, or I'm into travel. So like, my job is really just able to pay for that.
And that can be okay. And I think that that's important to note, is that you can just, a job can just be a job.
Yeah.
And it's okay if it's not consuming your entire life, making you absolutely miserable, and it's something you're coasting, you're okay with coasting, that's okay too.
And then I'm gonna say something that I think people are gonna be not happy that I'm saying.
I'm ready.
I'm wondering how you're gonna feel about what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
So this entire episode came from somebody asking the question, how do I quit my job, right? So we started talking about endings and how to leave stuff, right. But so there is such a big push, especially, we love communication. I will straight up saying, I fucking love direct communication. I'm someone who is very into direct communication. And I think that there's additional pressure we put on that. It's like, you have to do everything in person. Mm. You have to. I actually do not agree with this.
I
think if it's going to serve you more to leave a relationship.
You thought that I wasn't going to like this?
But just because there's such a thing like in this field about like you have to say it to people's faces. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
If the only way, if you need to leave something so much, but the actual thing that's keeping you is the conversation, fucking send a text. Whatever. It doesn't look the best. Maybe it's not the most ethical. Maybe it's not the professional.
They might be pissed.
Whatever.
It's like that Sex in the City episode where he
the post-it note. I'm sorry. I can't.
Don't hate me.
Okay. But wasn't that Burger and he was a jerk?
He sucked.
Yeah. I don't like.
Also,
I don't like it.
Why is his name Burger?
Well, his name was Jack Burger.
Oh.
His last name. You dumb.
Cheeseburger.
Okay. So I am a believer. So the person who asked the question, how do I quit a job? You can send an email.
Send an email. Also, I mean, look at your contract. See the way, the best way.
But usually they don't say a way. Usually
certain contracts
will have exact things.
Will have.
You have.
I know this because I worked in the corporate world for so long.
Well, a lot of places will say, like, you have to submit written.
Yes, submit written. Right.
So, like,
exactly.
That's so, okay. Right. So you feel like you have to have a conversation and give written. I don't agree with that.
I quit.
Have to give written.
I quit my job in person.
Of course you did. You're so.
Cried hysterically. Hysterically. I was like.
How'd they take. What was their reaction?
I was like. Actually. I like thinking about it now. You know when you think about things and you're just like. Oh yeah. You like cringe. I was just like. I'm going to grad school.
Were they like.
And they were like. I'm really happy for you. I was like, okay. All right, that's it. You know, like, I think that we expect, too, that, like, people are going to be really mad at us. Especially
well, sometimes
in
people
a,
are, though.
And sometimes people are. But I think in a job, it's so important that.
You're replaceable.
Oof. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oof. It's true.
It's the thing is that, like, the reality is if you die, your job will replace you. I'm sorry.
And it's business. The thing is, it's business. But because our job consumes so much of our lives,
yeah,
it doesn't always feel like just business.
Absolutely.
But
especially if you have a relationship with those people, right? Like,
absolutely.
If I have a really good relationship with people, there can be so much guilt associated with leaving, even if we know it's the best thing for us. But the thing you also have to remember, and I always think about this also in terms of relationships, they deserve to be with someone and to find someone who does truly want to be there. Same with that job. And that's, like, one of the things I had to remind myself about, like, being a teacher is, like, those kids deserve someone who loved what they were doing every single day, and it wasn't going to be me.
Like, you're doing
I am not that wonderful of a person. I need to martyr myself. None of us are. And I have to remind myself, like, for my clients, too. Like, when I went on maternity leave and I had, like, so much, like, angst about, like, leaving my clients, and my supervisor, who is
love,
quite honest, we'll call him, was like, yeah, there's other people that can help besides you, right? And I was like, I think I did need to hear that, right? Like, I did need to hear that, like, I'm not the world's best therapist.
Right.
I'm a therapist. That's
right.
It. I'm a person.
And people can make connections with other people.
For sure.
People
right?
can find other people for your job.
Yes.
And so to acknowledge that and to say, listen, yes, this is hard. It's no longer serving me. But I can be replaced. And they're going to be okay. And you're going to be okay. It's really just approaching the conversation can
and
be really
don't
challenging.
Take that discomfort as a sign that it's the wrong decision.
Yes.
That's what
that's
you need
essential.
To remember, right? Because I think sometimes it's like, this feels so bad, so I shouldn't do it. But like, no, you can feel and do hard things and they might feel uncomfortable and might feel icky, But usually that feeling of icky is because we want to avoid it.
Right.
And so now we have to do Dear Em and Jen.
I'm ready.
I feel like I want to give a disclaimer before we start Dear Em and Jen, which is people might actually not like what we have to say.
Of course.
Doesn't that always scare you when we answer questions?
Also, this is your first disclaimer of that?
Like, I mean, I know we've been doing,
just a given.
I know we've been doing like Q&A for a while, but there was something that came in that as soon as I read it, I was like, oh, this person would hate our answer to this.
Also,
I don't think it's the one we're doing though.
We might have different responses to this too. So that might be something to consider also. We're going to have different responses. We have not talked about this before. Dear Em and Jen, how to become comfortable with the concept of marriage. Seems like everyone is getting divorced these days. Even Bill Gates just ended a 27-year-long marriage. The whole thing seems overrated. Hard to find one happy couple these days.
It is overrated.
Agreed.
So when I said people aren't going to like our answers, it's because marriage is overrated. There's a lot of reasons to get married. One of those is legal. One of those is taxes. And it's not this like perfect, wonderful thing. But also we have to remember part of the divorce rate is people live so much longer now and we do change. So the question you should ask yourself is, marriage in the traditional sense is overrated. But a committed relationship where we grow together, where we're able to adapt, where we're able to be flexible, that's not overrated. That's beautiful. And I think that's the difference. You have to change how we think about marriage and how we think about relationships in general.
And I think going into it with those expectations, right? Like the overrated part is everyone talks about marriage as this is, it's your happy ending, right? Like, oh, and that's what it is in the media, right? You like reach this happy ending where everything's wonderful, but you have to really gain some realistic expectations. Emily and I very much know those expectations because we're both couples therapists. I did not go into marriage thinking it would be perfect. I think that there's a portrayal of it, of it's this perfect, easy thing. And it's challenging. But I think
really
that you're
right.
Really being able to say, I want this committed relationship.
Yeah.
That's something you work on. It's something to strive for.
So like you have to think about yourself, like in a larger sense, what is the point of marriage for me?
Right.
The same way you can think about like, what's the point of sex? What's the point of parenting? Right. That's when we talk about this scripting exercises of how do I define why I would be doing this? Because yes, doing it just because other people think you should is a very poor reason to get
married.
I would imagine for Bill and Melinda, there was financial parts of this when anytime there's money and like to not neglect that information, but to think about how would marriage look for me? How would we define it? And what would we want it to look like? That's the short of it. Let's not overcomplicate it from there.
That's it.
Hey,
that's our episode.
Thanks for spending time with us this week. We can't wait to see you. We want to hear all. If there's any subject you want us to talk about, or if you have a Dear Em and Jen, write it in. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If this episode touched something for you, or you think it might help someone else, make sure to send it along.